Welcome to the Thriving in Chaos Project, the podcast that is designed to inspire you to truly live your very best life, all while living your life's transitions. Divorce coach, mediator, and host Paulette, alongside host and divorce attorney Sonia, help women leave behind the turmoil, confusion, and chaos of relationships and divorce. Together, they are discussing the topics that none of us talk about but really want to, and introduce you to experts in their fields of relationships, marriage, parenting, mind-body wellness, career, business, finance, healing, and transformation. Each podcast episode focuses on sharing real conversations from real-life situations. Isn't it time you thrived? Join. Let's go. Thrive in the chaos. Okay, we're live. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Thriving in Chaos Project. I'm Paulette with guest and co-host Sonia Carralt, attorney, and I am certified divorce coach and mediator. Sonia and I come live to you each week on Facebook Live, and today is just like every other. So we've titled our podcast topic today, 15 days has certainly turned into 15 weeks. We were thinking 15 months, but that might be a little bit a little bit daunting. We're going to stick with 15 weeks at this point. So good morning, Sonia.
Good morning. How are you today? We made it another week.
We made it another week, I'm good. Today it's sunny. Yesterday was horrific. It was raining cats and dogs, as they say. Today is sunny and gorgeous. I put this dress on and Steve said to me, oh, you got your spring dress on. So how springy.
Me too. Flowers. Here in the Northeast, it is nice, cold, rainy, gray, and dreary. But we're going to look at it as it's Friday and we're grateful for the ending of a long week. Is it me or are these weeks feeling long?
I feel like a kid again when a day seemed like an eternity. You remember when you were about 6, 5, 7, and the day seemed to just drag on, like school, right? Yeah. Get there at 7:30, and maybe I don't remember that at that age, but I remember how time had a way of just being, a day seemed like a week. And when I'm busy, a day goes by like that. And I know. There, when I'm in the zone, my days just go by so quickly. But I have to say, it's amazing how the days seem different. The reality of things have shifted. Although I was just in the kitchen, and in the kitchen I have a calendar there, and I counted. There's only 6 days left in April.
It's unbelievable. There's not enough hours in the day. But yet there's this sense of the weeks are just feeling long to me and intense. And then suddenly I'm looking and it's exactly 6 days left in April. Like May, it's right around the corner. We're here, summer, it's happening. But I love our podcast today because isn't that the truth? We were told 2 weeks quarantine, stay home orders are not being lifted. Nothing is changing. And we have to remain patient, positive, and focused. And it's hard, Paulette. It's not easy.
It is hard. I think every time I have a conversation or reflect, every time I have a conversation with somebody in my neighborhood or a client of mine or just friends or family, that just that feeling of stuckness of where we normally look at our month and we say, oh, it's April. Oh, or it's back, you know, it's March. This is what I've got on my calendar. And wow, look how busy it is. And which is, or sometimes it's the opposite feeling. Oh, look how busy it is. Right. Or, right. You know, and now I remember having to get out an eraser because I'm a firm believer in pencils.
I love pencils.
Every time I write in pen, it especially now, right? We all have to write in pencil because we're changing everything. I had to erase everything in April because everything I had planned, my travel plans, I had travel in April, May, and June travel plans made. Nothing, it was all business, but weekends, conferences, events I was participating in, everything was canceled. Yeah. Everything. The NADP in Las Vegas was canceled way back. My California trip for the weekend for a doer's weekend away with some of my business online marketing people that I work with canceled. April, I was supposed to go to Belize. We canceled that. Well, all the flights were canceled. So naturally that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. So now I had this big open calendar, which got filled, but with different things. But it feels incredibly different. I'm sure your calendar changed hugely too.
Absolutely. I think, you know, it changed. At first it was a pushback. Like when this all started, I thought, all right, I get what's going on. Let me push things back. Now it's a complete change, and it's forced me and all of us, I'm sure it's many of our listeners, to you have to be flexible and you have to let things go. And isn't that hard? Just to let certain events go. I was looking forward to the travel, especially, you know, I had travel plans in June to go to Spain, introduce my family to my son, and it's not happening. And you just got to kind of let it go. And I agree, I filled my calendar, but every day I kind of have that look of like, no, little bit, no. It's changed. It's different. So I hear you. I hear you. And we'll see. We'll see. We just got to keep it moving. But it's not easy. And it's just starting to feel very hard.
Every morning when I wake up, there's this moment of, oh, everything's the same. Meaning I forget that things are different. And I do say it's a moment. It's maybe 4 seconds. And then all of a sudden, reality kicks in. And I go, oh, yeah, things are different.
Yeah.
And I'm not really an alarm clock setter. Like, I've never really been an alarm clock setter. I typically like to wake up when the sun, or, you know, right dawn, when the sun starts to rise up and my body starts to stir. But now it just... it feels like I've lost track of time, that the minutes turn into hours, which turns into days, which turns into weeks. I can't tell you how many times I've had to say to Steve, wait, what day is it?
I know.
Do you know what day it is? Is it Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday? Or thank God I have this calendar. Like literally, I'm still old school. I still use my phone and put a calendar's appointments in it, but I like to see it and I look at my week. But if I didn't write it down, I swear I wouldn't know what day it was.
I know. And that's the hardest part. It's just, I agree. It's just, I'm like, what day is it? I have so much to do, but wait, I could do some of these things tomorrow. Everything is just feeling very, very different. And yet, the same. It's a really weird, mentally it's hard to just, what's your routine every day? You know, my routine for me, I hate routine. And once I sort of quit being a corporate litigator, I promised myself that there were certain routines that out the window. But there is a sense now being home and a lot of people working from home for the first time, you do need a routine. Get up, take a shower, or get up, have your cup of coffee, tea. You've got to do something. Because that's what I'm hearing a lot from people, too, who are adjusting. Me and you are lucky because we sort of know how to work from home. But a lot of people are working from home for the first time. What does this mean? Are you in pajamas all day? What do you do? Right?
Yeah, I love the funny memes on social here and there. People saying to me about like, okay, so I know that it's time for night because I change my AM jammies to my PM jammies. Right? I'm like, I'm not the kind of person, like, I didn't put on this, I stand up, put on my dress because, you know, I was seeing you today. I really do enjoy feeling like my day starts with that routine. I typically will drink mushroom coffee, or Steve is a coffeeaholic. He's a coffee connoisseur, coffee and wine connoisseur all the way. I prefer herbal tea, Cochica or mushroom coffee. And occasionally I have a regular coffee, but I love that. He always brings me my coffee and that's how I know my day has officially begun. But I've been having clients really early in the morning. And sometimes it's like, oh, okay. I can just, like, you know, I don't have to be fully, like, gorgeous. I can just, like, be sort of slightly put together, wear shorts and a t-shirt. No one's going to see, you see my shoulders, whatever. Do I wear jewelry anymore? Wedding ring and these rings in the ear, like, barely. I don't really wear a lot of jewelry anyway. It drives me crazy. So I don't really like things on my body. I'm sort of tactile that way, but you know, I like to make my bed.
Me too.
I'm a bed maker. I like to keep that laundry done, could shower and keep everything really minimal. I typically make miso soup for breakfast, steamed greens. I know it seems like a very weird breakfast, but brown steamed greens and miso soup is macrobiotic breakfast. Sometimes I'll have oatmeal, a little bit of yogurt with fruit, whatever, but have that routine, big meal in the middle of the day, because that's when your fire's digestive enzymes are ready. We've been eating a little bit later than we should. I hate that, but the sun is now going down at 7:30, 8 o'clock. And so when the sun goes down later, I like to eat later because I like to still enjoy the sunshine while it's still out. But the routine is so important. If you don't keep a routine, that's another reason why your days turn into weeks, which turn into months. So the routine is key. I have to say, if you don't manage to keep a semblance of routine in your life when you don't need to, meaning it's not forced upon you, it goes haywire.
I agree. There's a morning story. The morning routine, I think, is very important. The bedtime routine, I think, is very important. Mm-hmm. The winding down of the body, the mind, turning that off, allowing yourself to just feel like, okay, this is what I do every day to get myself started and to get myself to go down, even though it's a lot easier said than done. Part of my routine, and I'm going to admit something, is I have been a snackaholic. Suddenly, I just am. I have a snack drawer, and suddenly it's like I'm using this excuse of being quarantined at home. The other day, I mean, it's 10:30, and if my husband heard this, he would, because my husband is very disciplined when it comes to food. He's just extraordinarily healthy, and I've got to tell you, that was great during my pregnancy, but I've also realized where I fall short. I am a snackaholic, and part of my routine has been at 10:30 in the morning or earlier, don't judge, I'm eating party mix. I know better. And Jack's looking at me like eating fruit and bananas, and I've cut up and I'm eating party mix. And I'm trying to get better about that. But routine is important, and exercise. I think a big part of it is just getting outside, the fresh air. I know we talk about this all the time in the Northeast. It's really hard right now because it's still cold and rainy and gross, but people have to get outside. That really breaks up your day. It gives you an opportunity to take a break. I think working from home, there's this sense of you can just keep going, keep going, keep going. And you have to stop. Go outside. Take a lunch break. You have to. Routine is important.
Yeah, the other thing, you know, the exercise, man, I was teaching aerial yoga every Saturday at 10:30. Well, not teaching aerial yoga right now. Yeah. I did a 5-day course with Rod Stryker last week for my CEUs for my yoga school, but I had clients in the middle of the day. So thank goodness they're recorded and I can go in and do them, and they're, you know, it's fine. I still can do the remainder of the ones that I couldn't see, but it was, again, the routine was shot to hell. And normally I try to go take Pilates Monday, Wednesday, Friday mornings, and then I do my yoga there, and I'll practice a little bit here, but I'm at least going to yoga class 3 times a week, or at least practicing, and that's been just, again, the routine shot to hell. And eating, the snacking, are you kidding me? Like, I love to cook. So we haven't been out. Normally we'd go out 2 or 3 times a week. Well, the last time we actually went out to dinner was, it was like the end of March. I don't really remember. I really don't remember. We actually said it to ourselves. I think this is the last time we're having dinner out. But there's the restaurants here do takeout. So Steve and I looked at each other and we ordered 2 pizzas. Like one for him and one for me. No, we didn't eat them all that night, but we had pizza for dinner and then we had pizza for lunch the next day. No, we don't eat pizza. We usually eat pizza like once a month or twice a month, but yeah. The pizza is so good. Oh, it's amazing. The place is called The Hill. Great pizza. Shout out to everybody at The Hill. Delicious. But I mean, like, what the hell? What are we doing? Like, and the snacks, oh yeah, the hummus and the chips come out and then we'll do the vegan cheese with the crackers we get this amazing Chevrolet goat cheese from our neighbors that have, it's organic and it's like, and it's like not store-bought goat cheese. It's,
yeah.
And it comes in this little pyramid. I put it in a glass bowl and I could sit there and eat the whole thing. Like it's disgusting.
I love cheese.
I love, it's particularly this kind of organic, raw goat milk cheese. So are you kidding me? I'm going to have 20 pounds to lose when this freaking thing is over. So, and the hair. So I know everybody, people have been asking me about Georgia because I live in Georgia and Georgia is the first state where the guinea pig state to go open up the borders again. Right. So here I am still at home. And I do have an office, which is about a half an hour from here, where it's just me and a desk. So whether I'm here at the desk or there at the desk, like, what's the difference? So I don't have to go, but some clients live closer to there. But I can see everybody. But there have been a couple clients that only want to see me in person. So if it's just me and them and they're, you know, across the desk, 6, 7, 8 feet away, it doesn't seem terribly scary to me, particularly because Steve has 70% alcohol, the one that kills germ on contact. We have like a case of it and 6 bottles of it. So I bring in a bottle and my financial planner like sprays everything. And Steve's a germaphobe anyway. So we like literally, he vacuumed this morning. I don't even ask him to do it. I don't know who he is, but I have the best husband in the world. He vacuums, does dishes, cooks, like the best. Anyway, I mean, I do all that too, but I do the things I prefer. I love laundry. He doesn't like
you.
I love laundry. I love to do laundry. I know I'm sick. I actually enjoy folding napkins and we only use cloth napkins. So anyway, routine, the exercising, the snacking, but the hair color. So yesterday I bought like a couple months ago. I don't know why, because I think we were traveling and I couldn't get to the hair salon. So traveling, I think it's because we were going into Europe. And I bought like a root touch-up kit and it's been sitting in my bathroom for months, like since the summer. And I'd never used it because I was always going to the hair salon. And I religiously go every 5 to 6 weeks because I just hate my hair. I hate it. I like to sit there and be a princess for 45 minutes and just have them. And my hair, I don't really do a lot to my hair. Like it's just, remember the channeling Sean Corn thing? So do I like have more crazy hair? So I can straighten it, but it's a bitch to do it. And anyway, so yesterday I had like an hour and it takes 10 minutes. So I literally like parted my hair, did my roots and left it in for 10 minutes, gone. Like I just saved myself $200. So it wasn't just that I was trying to save money. It was like, okay, I've got this stuff. I've got the time. Why not do it? So I don't have the fake nails anymore. I colored my own hair. I barely wear makeup. I barely wear jewelry. I probably wear the same 20 things.
Oh, me too. My laundry. So I love doing laundry, but I hate folding it and putting it away. It's such a pain. But I do it because I also like things to be clean. A clean house to me, organized house,
yeah.
Brain, organized brain, just helps me settle. And my husband is the same way. And I am so grateful every day because our house, nobody would guess that we have a 10-month-old. We let him get wild, but then like we put everything away when he goes to bed and it's like, boom, reset. That helps. But it's yeah. like the self-care routine. That's a hard piece. Like I have to go to the salon because I am very gray, very, very gray. And I have dark hair, so you can see it. And there are a lot of things that I can embrace as I get older. The gray hair, it's just not for me. I don't look sophisticated with it. I don't. I just kind of look a little skunky. Like, you know, a little skunky chic, I like to call it, because there's certain patches that are like real, real gray and just there. But the self-care routine, that's hard for women, right? Like being able to go to the salon and just be pampered for once every X amount of time, or the nail salon, or just having somebody do something for you, and it's done. It's not going to happen for a little bit. So I keep telling myself I'm going to give myself a pedicure. I don't have the time. And then I look at my toes and I'm like, just put on socks. It's still cold. Who cares? Like, I just, you know, it's, there are just parts of my routine that I've just kind of thrown out the window and been like, all right, like, I don't want to do it.
We get really lazy, right? When we're just like, if anyone has any sloth in them, I do. Definitely times in yoga, we call it tamas, where you can be tamasic, which is just means that you're sedentary, or what's that saying? Objects in motion tend to stay in motion, and objects at rest tend to stay at rest, which is called tamas. Rajas is activity. Tamas is inactivity or inertia. And we are now in a state of inertia, just stuck, trapped, confused, like we feel like everything's out of our control. Schedules just totally, you know, torn apart. So it's really going to be important for us now getting out of, what is this week? 6, 7. I've lost track. What was the first week that you were supposed to shelter in place in New York? Was it different for you? Do you remember?
We're in April. I think it was it beginning of, no, mid-March maybe?
Mid-March, I think. Isn't it funny? Does anyone out there know? Please put in the comments. What was the day that you first day of sheltered in place? March 23rd, I think, is sticking in my head for a reason. I could be wrong. I believe it was March 23rd, and now it's April 24th. So at least for me, it's been 5 weeks about. Mm-hmm. So now 5 weeks is now, it feels like, okay, how much longer are we going to be doing this? We down here in Georgia, and there's a lot of people that are excited about going back to work. And there are a lot of people, particularly where I live, that are not doing it. They're going to keep doing what everyone's been doing for probably another month or so. Who knows? I'm seeing it firsthand because we live here. So don't, and this isn't a fake news notice. This is just, I live here, so it's a real notice. People are really being respectful of distance and being exceedingly good about washing hands and being tidy and staying away from one another. Mm-hmm. I did go to the bank once when the ATM, and you know, I think naturally people stay in their car or they don't like stand right behind somebody when you're waiting for an ATM. But there was that distance, politely, but even more so than usual.
Right, right.
When you're opening a door, almost everybody is using their sleeve of their sweatshirt or their jacket or their skirt or something. And then, if they're wearing a glove, but then the gloves are misleading because then you touch your face or you touch something, and why wear a glove? Right. But the restaurants are all takeout. So that's been very respectful. You pull in, you get, you know, whatever. Even like the fancier restaurants have been takeout, like the pizza we got. That's our big fancy restaurant here. People have been respectful, but it's going to be very interesting to see what's happening with the hair salon and the massage and the spas. The gym here is reopening Monday. So I'm not going. But you know, I do have to say somebody has to be brave enough to see whether, so let's say some businesses do open and there isn't a spike, that it does continue to level and then I see the safety and more businesses following suit. But if it spikes, then I see that it will be the guinea pig of unfortunately having to back off and seeing more people get ill. And it's a little bit tricky because we're living in the first state to go back and we don't really know what that's going to mean.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's interesting. I didn't know that about Georgia. I don't get to watch the news every day because
we got a baby. Life.
But I have to tell you, I've been you're watching all of these protests across the United States, the one in Detroit and what's going on all over the place. And there's a part of me that really understands, like, this for the economy, for everybody's life, certain jobs, this is awful. But the reminder out there is, this isn't just that you know, you catch this virus and you get an itchy eyes and a runny nose. People are dying from it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So respectfully, with the demonstrations and everything going on, like, please, like, we understand, everybody feels the pain differently, but everybody has felt this extensively. It's just about continuing to be smart. Exactly what you said, Paulette. Let's see what happens in Georgia. It's scary. And hopefully, you know, this is a reminder that just because they're opening up the borders doesn't mean this is over. I think, like, a tendency of people is to think, like, oh, back to normal, here we go. No, life has changed. This has taught us how fragile our ecosystem is, how fragile life can be. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's just about continuing to be smart. We need everybody to continue to take the precautions, wash your hands, stay a little bit further away from people. Like, we want everything to go back to a new normal, but, like, I hope that a lot of people can just see this as an opportunity to start to get back to living again, but also just keep in mind, like, this is real. Many people have lost family members over this, and it's really affected the world. Mm-hmm. So I just hope that there's a level of just keeping it smart, not feeling like, woohoo, we're back, here we go, let's go back to how we've been doing things, because we can't.
I don't believe we'll ever really get back to exactly the way.
No, me neither.
You see a sense of keeping distance and being aware of your surroundings a little more, you know, what you touch. And I noticed when the couple times we have been in the grocery store, I'm a toucher. Like, I have to touch everything. Like, I touch the can, I touch the crackers, I touch the bread, I touch the bananas, I'm a toucher. Like, and now I literally have to hold my thumb and just walk in and look and then think, like, what do I need? Not what do I want? Like, I'm using the different parts of my mind, which we'll get into, and saying discerning and reflecting and using my wise ability to discriminate about what I'm touching. I pick the apple with my eyes. I touch the apple and I put it in the cart. Versus before, I had to touch every bloody apple.
Oh, me too. I'm the same way.
Them and smelling them, and I mean, I'm joking, but you know, like, you're like looking at them and you have to pick the best apple. Now I'm like, get the freaking apple, put it in the cart, and be done with it, bitch. Like, get on with it. So
it gives me anxiety to pick my fruit like that. This is very hard for me. And I was being judged the other day at the grocery store. I am the same way. I am a toucher, I'm a feeler. The fruit has to be just the right type of ripeness. Like, I can really tell by touching it, but I feel like I can.
Yeah.
And I pick the right apple, pear, something. And I was doing this the other day and caught myself. And I thought, oh, and I could see this woman looking at me like, oh, she's one of those. I have my face mask on. Don't wear gloves. My hands were clean. But she's thinking, she's touching all those pears. I don't want any of those pears. She's contaminated. And I felt it. And I couldn't say or do anything because there's a part of it. She's right. And I shouldn't be touching all the pears, but I can't help it but touch all the pears. And I'm not touching 100 pears anymore. I'm just touching like 10. But it's life is different. And we're all adjusting.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I literally have to hold my thumb.
I'm going to try that.
Like anybody, if you're a toucher, raise your hand. Who's a toucher here? If you're a toucher, Sonia and I are touchers. I'm a very tactile. I love to touch things, all my senses. I'm a sensory oriented person. So it's torture. So take your thumb, hold it. You can't
tell
me if you're doing this, right? So go in holding your thumb. Of course, wash your hands thoroughly. We have that 70%, what do you call it, in the car? So we also use the Nozin. Thank you, Maureen Spencer. N-O-Z-I-N. And you take a swab and you put it in your nose and it kills all everything in your nose. And you're not supposed to do, but I do it. I put a little bit, not on my lips, but right around it to kill it. And I do it on my hands and then I hold my thumb and then I go in the store and I live more through my eyes now. Use your eyes versus your tactile. And think, like, go through the aisles of when you, what do I need, and not be so like, oh, that's pretty. Oh, it's on sale. Oh, put that in the cart. Oh, honey, look at this. What do you think of this? Oh my God, look at this. What do you think of this? Do you like this? I like this. And before you know it, you've touched 150 pairs. Like, you don't even, okay, so touch two, but don't touch anything. Go in and look at the prices or look at the brand or read the ingredients. And I know it's sometimes hard to read the ingredients if the can is backwards, right? So, you know, but, and then only touch what you have to, put it in and hold your thumb again and you'll touch less because you're also exposing other people, but you're also exposing yourself. And so the less things we touch, the safer we are and the safer we are with everything else. And that's going to be the trouble with restaurants, salt and pepper.
Exactly.
Ketchup, mustard, salad dressings, condiments, the things that are communal property, right? I bet I probably will not use salt and pepper anymore.
Right.
Who touched the salt and pepper? Well,
I know.
Pretty much everybody. So what are we going to start bringing our own salt and pepper? Like, probably. I don't know. It's changed everything.
Everything.
I know.
Everything. Yeah, I'm curious to see how the restaurant industry here in New York, everything is takeout as well. And I'm curious to see how they're going to do it. They're talking about like throwing, you know, because at the same time, we've learned the earth is fragile. So we can't suddenly be throwing out everything and use it. So how are we going to do this, navigate it? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's sort of a work in progress.
Using disposable straws, right? Because bad for the turtles, because it breaks my heart, especially we lived in Belize. So you see a lot of the aquatic life having plastic in their internal organs and the six-pack things, the plastic. And the plastic straws and the turtles know. So we go to these eco-friendly ones, metal.
Exactly.
Or silicone,
great
for the environment, not so great for germs, right? Unless you sterilize them, which you do, but you can't freaking win.
No. It's it's hard because this is starting to feel, and I'm sure a lot of people, which is why we titled the podcast what we did today, it's starting to feel like, is this ever gonna end? Like how summer camps are done, the pools aren't going to open. Every day you hear something, some governor, somebody's on, they are pushing things back. Miami Beach shut down the beaches. New York is not going to open pools, beaches, anything. So what's summer going to be like? We're going to be outdoors in. What if you don't have in a backyard? I'm very lucky that we have a beautiful home with a backyard and a pool, but what if you don't have a backyard? It's a lot. It's getting to feel like a lot, but it could be worse.
The outdoor issue is interesting, Sonia, and we'll kind of leave it at there, I think, because from what I understand, and this is both scientific from my RN friend, Maureen Spencer, when this began to happen, and Maureen I interviewed on the podcast, she's a leading epidemiologist. She's from Massachusetts where I grew up, but she now is in Tampa. She's been busier than anyone because she does consulting for everybody about infectious disease.
Yeah.
She says that the first thing she said is bleach kills it, or chlorine. Well, what do they put in pools? Chlorine. So getting in a pool with chlorine in it isn't so great for other parts of you, but it kills the virus.
Oh, interesting.
So being outdoors in the sunlight, in humidity, and also in a pool that has, you know, make sure that it's pH and chlorine and it's, you know, safe to go in, that it is up to the correct levels of what do they call it? No, they use another word in pools. Shock, whatever the hell they call
right,
it.
Right, right.
But they put in there to kill, that it on contact will kill the virus. So being outdoors in the sunlight in a pool is probably safer in some ways, is particularly if you have your own pool, than being in other outdoor situations. So it's hard, you know, being still at home where we even got air purifiers here in our home. They were a medical grade air purifiers, one upstairs and one down. And I can feel a difference in the home of the air being clean. A lot of HVAC systems are going to have to be reevaluated as to how quickly they recirculate the air and to change your filters. So part of me is sad because they're closing the beaches and closing the pools and outdoor things, because people really do need fresh air and fresh, you know, nature, and kind of reconnect to that, because it's a challenge to be not in an environment, particularly people that live in an urban environment where they're in apartments or quarters where they don't have the freedom to just, you know, chasse out the sidewalk and go to the beach or have a park, or it's going to be challenging. The winter is, we're used to being indoors, but the summer, no camps and no beaches and no pools. And this is really going to be a challenge for people. My heart was breaking when I heard that Massachusetts and other states too shut down the schools for the rest of the year. All those seniors that don't have proms and graduation and that rite of passage, right?
Yeah.
It's hard. Hopefully they'll be able to make up for it at some point. But it's the new definition of what is to come is one day at a time right now. So
that's right.
Stay on your A game and keep the momentum going of what you've got going in your life. Good. Keep your health. It's vital. And Sonia and I have a lot of exciting things coming up. So keep your momentum going. I know I am. I know she is. I hope you are. Everybody out there, you can always email us. I've been getting some great emails. So the email is just Thriving in Chaos Podcast. Yeah, I didn't know if it was project or podcast. Thriving in Chaos podcast@gmail.com. And you can reach us at social too. Leave a comment here. The lives are great on Friday, but a lot of people will be listening to this on the replay. I know lives are great, but not everybody's, you know, available at this time. So also we might play around with the time. It's just a great time for when she and I are available. And we feel that coming regular and consistent is important for everybody. Keep that regularity, keep that consistency, keep that routine in your life, and maybe lay off the Chex Mix or the snack pack or the party mix. Eat something a little bit more hydrating, not the crunchy salty.
I know. I'm gonna try. I'm gonna work on this part of my routine. So all my party mix lovers, I hear you. It's hard.
And
just
for me,
have a combination of flavors hits it just right.
Salty, crunchy, savory.
Yeah. Oh. So
cheers to everybody. Happy weekend. Keep it a safe one. Keep it a well one. So much love going out to all of you. Love you both. Love from both of us. And we will catch you next Friday on the Thriving in Chaos Project with Paulette and Sonia. Stay well. And we'd love to hear from you. We're excited about all of the things we have coming up, launching in May and June. So keep well, be well, keep thriving in the chaos.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in. And make sure if you want to talk to us or ask us questions, you can always email us at thrivinginchaospodcast@gmail.com. See you next week.